Hey, this is Adam Torres, and I'm here to tell you that it has never been easier to start your very own podcast. At Mission Matters, our goal is to amplify stories that matter. That means we want to help you start your podcast because your story matters. We can do this in three different ways. One, join our podcast school and take a free or paid course. Two, visit our resources page where we've already figured out what you need, such as where to host your podcast. Or three, heck, we can even do everything for you through our podcast agency, including editing for cheaper than you can do in-house. Oh, and no contracts, services month to month. Get started by heading over to missionmatters.com and click on Start a Podcast. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Mission Matters Innovation Podcast, your source for all things innovation. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. Keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today I have Alexander Hall on the line. He's owner over at Dispute Defense Consulting. Alec, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Oh, man. So we got a big topic today on our hands, Alec. I'm excited for this one. So how merchants can defend themselves. Lots of business owners, entrepreneurs, executives listening, and excited to get some of the tips and what you're working on here. But before we do, let's go a little bit further into your business. So tell us a little bit more about Dispute Defense Consulting, please.
Sure. Well, our goal is to make sure that merchants have everything that they need in order to build their defense against chargebacks, disputes, and just all aspects of fraud. That spans many different faces of fraud, everything from transactions to counterfeit materials to online credit cards, stolen credit cards and stuff like that, all the way out to transactional analysis, as well as data management schemes and operational oversight. We handle everything.
Man, that's awesome. And that's why I wanted you on the show today to talk about this. So first off, let's just dive right in. So how merchants can defend themselves. I mean, where do you want to start with this one? This is a big topic.
Well, what I typically go with is I like to outline exactly what goes into fraud prevention, and that, of course, starts with identifying counterfeit materials at the POS, and that's pretty much what everyone's familiar with. But then when you dive a little bit deeper, you start to see that whenever you have policy exploits that are available to consumers, you start to see that you lose money on, for example, like return policy exploits where someone will return something that isn't justified for a return. And that's something that an automated fulfillment company would experience a lot of. And then everything else, marketing inaccuracies such as when you put out an advertisement that says, hey, we'll get you two of these, one of these, and it's a buy one, get one setup. And then whenever it gets fulfilled, it doesn't get fulfilled the correct way, resulting in a chargeback. And we just go through and we make sure that everything is set up correctly to make sure that you get as little of these expenses and as little of these losses as possible.
So, I mean, and I know this is a really broad question. I don't mean it as a loaded one, but I do want to give an idea to what kind of things you've seen in your career in terms of like what kind of savings people can have from working with you, because there's a lot. I mean, you say it's few, but there could that like chargebacks, all these other things, that could be a really substantial line item that's hurting people's businesses that they don't really know they have an option like that. That doesn't necessarily have to be that way. So like what kind of numbers have you seen?
So starting at the beginning, if you look at what credit card fraud brings into a company that's clearing $40 million in a year, what I've seen is out of $158,000 worth of suspicious transactions, you end up seeing successful fraud being at about $80,000 over the course of the year if they're not properly defended against it. And what that ends up equating to, let's bring it down to one transaction. If the transaction's worth $100, you're going to have the loss of the transaction itself, which is seen as negative $100. If the transaction was successful, you lose $100 worth of product or service. In addition to that, you receive your chargeback, which is going to be given to you with a $15 processing fee. In order to respond to that, that's another $15 on top of that. And then if it goes into pre-arbitration or arbitration, you end up losing $275 if the issuer finds out that you are the one at fault, that the merchant is the one at fault, bringing the total of one successful $100 fraudulent order to somewhere around $500. So it grows quickly. And what I've seen is I've seen $200,000-$300,000 worth of losses that could have been easily mitigated if they would have only simply employed good preventative measures.
Wow. I need to like sit in my seat a little bit further on that one. That's a lot of money lost. Like, that's a lot of waste. Like,
yes,
especially
sir.
Things that can be prevented. So what are there's some people listening right now that you got their attention. I mean, what are some things that they should be thinking about like today? Obviously, I want them to give you a call in your company over at Dispute Defense Consulting, but what are some of those, like the other thing is, you know, people listen to this and they're like, oh, like this is going to be a lot of work. Like, how do we get all these systems and all this stuff set up? You know what I mean? Like it's that thing, like we know we should do it, but like, do we do it? So what does that process look like to get somebody set up and to get them going?
The way that I handle that is I will do a external or a front end evaluation. I will see just where your superficial exploits exist and where your superficial where you're susceptible to these exploits, I should say. That covers everything from the checkout all the way to a review of your policy, stuff like that. I do all of that work and I tell you where your weaknesses are. After that, you can invite me into the back end. We can go ahead and take a look at your different policies and I start helping you build a data scheme. So that way you know where all of these undocumented losses are coming from. For example, if your customer service team is saying I gave out $500,000 worth of rewards and worth of payback for customers who are unhappy with our service or the way maybe a representative spoke to them and want a better kick, I'll go in and I'll teach you how to calculate all of that and how to manage it in the future so that you can distinguish the importance of those actions and you can mitigate those losses. Whenever you have a company who gives out a lot of stuff, they don't really take into consideration what it took to make the sale. So the second point is to make sure that you are properly managing that data in order to reflect on it over time and then make analysis and then make a decision moving forward. And then it's just rinse, wash, rinse, repeat.
That's awesome. What I like about this is that, number one, it's actionable from the standpoint of somebody can get it done. Like, this isn't going to be something that drags on forever. Number two, they're going to be able to see, like, where, like, because you're doing that front-end analysis and you're doing other things, like, they're going to be able to see, like, the potential and, like, what that could mean to their business. So I think, I mean, those are both huge wins in my book. What are the right types of clients that are typically a good fit to work with you and your team, whether it's industry, size of business, revenue, quantity of transactions? I mean, give us a little bit of a feel because I want to make sure that the right individuals and or organizations reach out to you by whatever metrics you typically work with.
I try to be as effective as possible for anybody that wants help in developing their defense against fraud. So technically, I could help with anybody from a hot dog stand on the corner all the way up to these multi-billion-dollar corporations that have high-end automation. Anybody can work. If you accept money and payment, you need to make sure that your defense is definitely developed. Some surprising things are between B2B clients. Whenever you have someone that's doing fulfillment for you, they kind of hold the reins on how the operation goes. So like drop shippers and third-party logistic companies, they don't understand really the inner workings of the company that's supplying for them. And they don't understand really that if those people are not kept in check, that they stand to lose a lot. And with drop shipping and 3PL companies really coming into play nowadays, it's something that they should really be looking into.
Man, that's awesome. That's great stuff. So Alec, if somebody is listening to this and they want more information or they want to connect with you and your team to see what you can do, what's the best way for them to connect and to reach out?
Well, the email is quite a mouthful, but the email to get a hold of me is just info. It's info@disputedefenseconsulting.com. And, of course, we have someone monitoring that email ready to take your questions and get you set up. Other than that, I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. And you can find me just by searching Dispute Defense Consulting. We're the only one.
That's awesome. Well, Alec, really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing more about your background, all the great work that you're doing over at Dispute Defense Consulting. I mean, just from my memory, you just now said some people are having $100, $100 issues turn into $500 issues because they don't have the right proper things set up in place to alleviate those problems. So I'm just a big fan of what you're doing in the work over there. So great stuff there. And to the audience, as always, always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. If you did, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Leave me a review on the Apple iTunes Store. And if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, Mission Matters Innovation, definitely give us a subscribe there. But also leave us some comments on the video. Love to know what kind of projects and things that you're working on. And Alec, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, so I'll cut the audio there. Man, you killed it. Are you sure this is your first time?
Boy, felt nervous. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, sir.
Dude, that was awesome. Are you kidding me? Do you feel good?
I do. I feel energized.
It's good because it's because you're talking in your wheelhouse. Like I always said, like as long as you're talking in your wheel, like you didn't have to, and then you weren't talking about something that you didn't want to talk about. Like we would have been into COVID and be like, oh man, this is a drag, right? You wouldn't be all
absolutely
happy and energized. So I'm like, oh man, no, not even. So next steps on my end. So, and don't mean to cut it too short, but I have to go to the next interview. So I'm going to shoot the audio to my team. They're going to do all the editing, all the good things they do. They're really fast. So this will be live within the next 10 business days. When it does go live, you're going to get an email from one of my assistants, either Diana, Julius, or Kate, and this will have your full video marketing package that I mentioned to you. You're going to have that whole thing, and obviously, if you need anything else, just reply back to us. Quick question on my end. So I looked at the intake form. Are you thinking about starting a podcast, or do you already have one?
I am considering it. I'm doing my FAQs right now so I can build up future content. I want to be able to be set up, you know, as you know, I want to be set up for the next, you know, couple of weeks, couple months. So I'm doing that currently. And as I get exposed to more clients and I experience more situations, I'll be building that. But yes is the answer. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Well, if you need help, let us know, because we can, that's what I do all day long is help people launch podcasts and produce their shows. Jen, I'll be really upfront. So our pricing is real straightforward. We're $49.99 an episode to get it out the door for you. So editing, everything else like that, like nobody's doing what we're doing. And if you need help with actually like the production part of things, I host a weekly. So part of being part of our agency is you do get access to our school. And I host a weekly Q&A. So meaning I literally go through and help people produce their shows, provide them feedback and the whole like provide end-to-end on that part. So like there's nobody else doing what we're doing there. So definitely if that's something that interests you, let us know and we'll definitely help you with that launch. Okay.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you how long you've been doing this and how well you're doing on those paid podcasts that you mentioned, the Apple Store and all that. Is that an avenue I should start with, or is that something I should build a following first and get into?
When you say that paid podcast, what do you mean? I don't understand that question.
Isn't the Apple Store podcast, would you pay like a subscription to that? Not you,
no.
But the listeners?
No. I don't use that one. So the way that we do it, and the, why most of our clients use us, and I guess what we're our aim to do is everybody has a larger ticket item that they want to sell. So meaning, and to answer your first question, I'm approaching 3,000 podcast episodes.
Oh my goodness.
I've been doing this for a while. So to say that I'm an expert at this, you can take that for what you want. there's very few people in the world that have done as many podcast episodes as us. So
that's insane.
Yeah, so no, this is what I do, just to be clear. Like, this isn't a cheesy, like, service or something else. No, I help people develop and produce shows and achieve what they want to get done from it. So this isn't, like, a thing we're just trying. So that being said, we're definitely the leaders there. So I'm approaching 3,000 episodes now, and I personally host 8 podcast shows, all different niches, everything from marketing to business to tech to fitness. So that's my personal resume there. My clients are everything from doctors to tech people to lawyers to across the board. So what we specialize in is the content marketing side of it. So helping somebody produce their podcast, get it out there, and also get it distributed to their list and in a manner that's going to help grow their audience. So that's the key there, is that how do you create a consistent episode, a consistent podcast that grows your audience over time? Because you have a larger thing that you want to sell, which in this case is dispute defense consulting. I believe that you're if I were producing your show, the first thing I would be looking at is how you would get more lead flow to that, and what that looks like and how that show is designed. So I would be proposing. So I don't know, when you say FAQs, like, what do you mean by that?
So what I've been doing on my social media is I've been taking questions that I've been regularly answered over time, and I just make posts about it, and I just put that out into my network, and I answer it in a way that applies to as many people as possible. So, like, the way I would format the podcast is I would just have a list of questions. I say, hey, so on this week we're featuring questions that revolve around this concept, and I would just list these questions and then answer it and then take questions from whoever might be tuning in, you know?
Yeah, I do know Alec, and I do have to run to the next interview, but,
okay.
let us produce your show. I'm going to say something, and I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings, but it's a beginner's error that you're making right now. So, but your format should 110% be to interview business owners about their businesses. And the reason is because you will get direct clients from that.
Okay.
You're not going to, just throwing this out there, like, the niche of, like, FAQs and what people want and this and that, like, you're not going to get a million downloads, like, anytime soon. It's not going to happen. I'm just throwing it out there. It's hard to do, number one. You're going to probably, my first, like, you know, X amount of episodes weren't good. Like, it's going to take you years to build that. What you can do today, though, with the proper strategy is with an interview format, by targeting the right types of business owners, by thinking about what your product market fit is, you can then invite those people to your show. You structure the format around it, and some of those people will be your clients day one.
Gotcha. Understood.
So that's where I would take your show, and that's where it's going to put money in your pocket versus just be like, you're, because the thing is, people start shows, and then what happens is, like, what do you do after your 10th episode? What do you do after your 20th episode? What do you do after your 30th episode? Like, you're going to be sitting there, like, in your office, and you're going to be sitting there thinking, like, okay, what am I going to do on this one? What am I going to do? What's going to be new? What's going to be different? You're going to put in all this work, and then what happens is people are like, screw this. I haven't gotten a dime from this. I only got X amount of downloads. This isn't what I signed up for. Oh, the podcast didn't work. No, it's not a good model. Like, the route you're going is really hard, and it really takes way more time than what it takes. Like, put it this way, even doing those FAQs alone, like, the amount of time you probably spent in that, even keeping the spreadsheets and everything else, you could have already probably done 5 episodes.
Gotcha.
And had them out and got downloads.
All right, I got you.
It's all good, dude. I'll shoot you an email. Give me a day or two. I'll shoot you an email, dude. Set up a podcast strategy session, and I'll walk you through, like, some things that'll be, in my opinion, beneficial for you either way. No obligation to do business with us. Obviously, we want to produce your show. We want to do it. We're affordable. $99 a month for 2 episodes. Not a big deal there. But either way, I want to build you into the podcast community. I don't want you to quit. So I'll shoot you an email, schedule a time, and I got to run the next interview, but have a great rest of your week. You're going to get your promo package from us within 10 business days, okay?
All right, sounds great. Thank you so much.
Awesome meeting you, man. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye.